Think about Parsha Vayigash. So you think about the great drama at the beginning. And the tension's been building, everything by Yeshev. Yosef gets sold down, he has his dreams, gets sold down the river. He ends up in Mitzrayim and things begin to ferment while the brothers are still there at Israel. Over the course of Miketz, he rises to power. The brothers arrive. They come back again to bring Binyamin. And the way the laning is organized, the Kriyas HaTorah of last week ends at cliffhanger. Right? Yehuda says they come back, they're caught in the sting operation. They're caught with, Binyamin is caught ostensibly red-handed by Yosef's policeman with a gavia. Everyone's brought back. And Yehuda says, look, we don't know how this happened, but it's on us. And we'll all be your avadim. And Yosef says, no. I'm an honest fellow. I'm a moral fellow. I'm not going to. No guilt by association here. I'm not going to incriminate all of you. Binyamin has the gavia, and the rest of you are scot-free. You're all free to go home. Binyamin stays here, and the curtain closes on the lane of Parshas Miketz. Smack in the middle of the story. And Vayigash picks up at that dramatic moment. What's going to happen? Is Yehuda going to stand up? He's not going to stand up, as we know. He stands up. Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. They come down to Mitzrayim. He introduces the family to Paro, and they begin to settle down in Mitzrayim. And you would think at that point that the Chumash is done with the story of Yosef and the brothers, and now we're ready to move on to Vayechi, which is about the end, fast forward many, many years to the end of Yaakov Avinu's life. You have a couple of extra psukim that improbably are included in the Chumash. Beginning with Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yudalad, the psukim spend the last chunk of Vayigash on something that really seems unnecessary. The psukim talk about how Yosef carried out his, executed his plan, he executed his vision of, over the course of the Yimei of the Shnos Hara'av, over the course of the Shnos Hasava, he had gathered the excess food in Mitzrayim. That we heard about already. And now we hear about how the rest of his plan, over the course of the Shnos Harav, he begins to, as the people run out of Mitzrayim, run out of food, they come to him, and he gives them food in return for their land. He ultimately buys up all of Mitzrayim to be under the ownership of Paro. So Rabban Kedarko, and gives as an implied question and answers the question I didn't ask. See, Kfer Kasov, the question that we have to figure out, what was the question? That's somewhat obvious. What was the answer? See, Kfer Kasov ze v'gomar inin b'chol ha'parsha. Perek Mem Zayin Pasuk Yedav Ve'elakei Yosef is kol ha'kesef. Yosef begins to gather all of the liquid cash in Mitzrayim into Paro's coffers. And then the next round is he gathers up the real estate, he gathers up the people. Everything is bought by Yosef acting on behalf of Paro with the food that Yosef had stored in the government storehouses. The Torah tells us this and finishes out that whole issue throughout the rest of the Parsha. And out of the implied question is, why does the Chumash have to tell me this? Okay, good. So Yosef did it. There are many things, and we don't hear, Yosef must have been involved in countless, right, all sorts of business transactions, all sorts of political issues Yosef was involved in. He was running Mitzrayim, he was the executive vice president of Mitzrayim for many, many years. He was involved in loads of multi-million dollar deals. More, multi-billion dollar deals. Okay, Yasher Koach. We don't hear about them. Why? Yosef did what needed to be done. He had a job. He did his job. He did a good job. He was the Ish Matzliach. But that's not Nevuah Shehutzrich Ledoros. We don't need to hear that. It was important at the time. Yosef did what needed to be done. But what is it here in Chumash for? Most of it, 99% doesn't. So why is this here? It seems like we're done. Why the epilogue? So it says Ramban, Sipera Kasuv Zeh V'Gamar Ha'inyin B'Chal HaParsha Lehodia Malos Yosef, to tell us about Yosef's strengths. Bechachma, betvuna, uvedas, the great wisdom and understanding that he had. V'chi haya ish emunim. And he was a person of great faith, meaning a person of great loyalty and honesty. Shehevi kol hakesef beis paro. All the money ended up in the royal coffers. The Rabban says, consider the following. V'lo asal yatzmo otros kesef, matmonim istarim, v'eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef didn't divert some of the cash into matmonei mistarim, a hidden bank account. Yeah, it could have sent 10% over to a Swiss bank account. And who would be the wise? Either in Mitzrayim or L'shachel Eretz Canaan. Either could have found some way to squirrel away some of the money for himself in Mitzrayim domestically, or that would be too dangerous before a modern banking system. How are you going to hide that amount of physical cash? Okay, he could have sent it overseas. Could have sent it to Eretz Canaan, could have sent it somewhere else. He could have done that, and he didn't. Aval natan lamelech haboteach bo kol hakesef. The king trusted him, the king relied on him, and he fulfilled that trust. All the money went, he was an honest broker and only a broker. He gave the king everything he was supposed to give him. V'kanal as ha'adama v'gam ha'gufos. And then the Ramban ends, "Umotza bezechein gam kein b'nei ha'am ki Hashem hu matzliach esrayah." And he found chein in the eyes of the people, even though this was, from a certain perspective, to their detriment. But they were taken by the fact that Yosef was taking care of them, and Yosef had planned ahead. Ki Hashem hu matzliach esrayah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives hatzlacha to his yirein. How many things does Ramban just tell us? Ramban is telling us, the story is not for naught. The story isn't just another piece of history. We don't have all the pieces of history in Tanakh. This is a piece of history that has profound lessons. How many lessons? Right. So number one, Yosef's not his man. You think I try to imagine what this wealth is in contemporary terms. The entire wealth of Mitzrayim. I'm not sure if we're talking about billions or trillions. Incredible. It's a astronomical amount of wealth passes through Yosef's hands over the course of less than a decade. And of course, of a couple of years. Everything. And we do know that the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, had definitely developed forms of accounting. Even Kol Zeh, even Bizman Azeh, people who want to be dishonest and get away with things for quite some time sometimes. Rahman al-Islam. And it was certainly even more true then. Yosef could have easily diverted what would have been, relatively speaking, a small fraction, a small percentage of the money, which would have been an incredible amount of wealth. And not, and that says Ramban, the Torah wants to say, you see the model of an honest Jew. He's entrusted, there's very little oversight, very little human oversight. But he knows, as we've been hearing again and again and again, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a part of his life. He's been talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu nonstop. Ever since he got to Mitzrayim, everyone talks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, everyone talks to Eishes Potifar about Kadosh Baruch Hu, talks to Poti about Kadosh Baruch Hu, Beis Asur and Paro. He is not embarrassed. He is the Yirei Elokim. In many ways, perhaps, the Yonah is a certain element of that as well. The man who's comfortable, Eser Elokim Ani Yirei, to be comfortable telling non-Jews that I'm a Yarei Shamayim, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I act accordingly. And to have that sort of pride in who you are and what you believe in a society that doesn't share your values. Yosef has incredible pride in his Yarei Shamayim, and that's what enables him to be Nisayim, arguably far greater than the Nisayim of Eishes Potiphar. The Nisayim of Eishes Potiphar was a very great Nisayim. And some opinions of Chazal understand that Yosef came very close to the line. And certainly there was motive and there was opportunity. And he was only being Nisayim, and that's incredible. It's certainly arguable that this was a far greater, not at all to diminish the Nisayim of Eishes Potiphar, but this amount of wealth passing through his hands to not touch a drop, incredible. In both cases, it's an extraordinary sense to have a real sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. That's very powerful. And Rabban also says at the end, "Motzah b'zechein gam kein be'ini ha'am." Another piece Rabban highlights is to be a Yarei Elokim also meant that Kadosh Baruch Hu did something for him. That part of the hatzlacha that Kadosh Baruch Hu gifted him with was not only that he got the job done, but that people appreciated it. What he was doing could have gone public opinion could have gone either way. He was saving Mitzrayim, but he was also stripping them of their financial independence. It could have gone lots of different ways. So as Ramban says, another point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, you see Yosef's incredible strength, Malos Yosef, that he was able to be Olim B'Nisayon, and you see the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him of the Hatzlacha, not only in terms of getting the job done, but Hatzlacha in terms of public reaction. But if you read carefully, there's one part of the Ramban we haven't dealt with yet. Take a look. What have we not yet explained?
Why would there be political reaction?
Yosef saved them, right? And all because he had the foresight to work in this years in advance that they're alive. So, rationally speaking, they should be incredibly grateful. And Baruch Hashem, they were. But things easily could have gone south. Even though, rationally speaking, without Yosef, they would be goners. But at the same time, over the course of several years, he, the way it sounds in the Chumash, he changed the whole political and economic setup in Mitzrayim. It sounds like he's introducing something doma to feudalism. There's now everything belongs to Paro. Paro is, on behalf of Paro, he's buying up all the, collecting all the wealth, and buying up all the land. All the land becomes Paro's land. All the people become Paro's people. They lost their freedom. They lost their freedom of property. They lost their freedom of person. In return for which, they live and they're productive, they're able to farm, they're able to survive and raise families and be healthy. So it's a trade-off. But people could have, many people spend more time focused on the negatives than the positives. It takes work, it's worthwhile work, to become a person who's focused on the positive more than the negative. The public opinion easily could have been, Yosef is a dictator, Yosef is terrible, look what he's doing to us, as opposed to Yosef saving our lives. What phrase have we not explained yet, Rabbi Osai? What phrase? Chachma Tfunan Das. The Ramban, very good. Ramban said, the point here is, tell us about the malos of Yosef, the Chachma Tfunan Das, and his wisdom, his insight, his understanding. V'chi haya ish emunim. And he was a person of great faith and loyalty and integrity. But his integrity is not the same as Chachma Tfunan Das. Number that Vav is hanging Vav. Number two, Chachma Tfunan Das don't fit. Two different things. We're talking about Yosef's wisdom and Yosef's integrity. The integrity you understand. And what means the integrity is point two. Point three is his Mitzias Chaim. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the gift of being beloved by the people whom he was helping, which doesn't always happen. But what's with the Chachma Tfunan Das? Yeah. If you say Yosef was very smart, so right. So what are we supposed to know? The Yosef was very. Yosef was a genius. Asher Kach. What does that do for me? To say v'chi ay ish amunim, that's something that I could be like Yosef. I could be just like Yosef. Right. Dumus yukno nirosol b'chalon when he's tempted by Ashes Potiphar. He's tempted by this attractive woman, and he's losing his grip on his conscience. He sees the image of his father reminding who he is. That keeps him going. So we could, the Torah is giving us a Dmus Yuknu of Yosef. We could hold on to Yosef. We could hold on to Yosef in terms of an Ashes Potiphar situation. We should not be tested, but statistically speaking, not unlikely that someone will be tested at work or elsewhere. And it's certainly even more likely that it's even less likely that none of you, over the course of your professional careers, will be tested with Yosef's second Nisayon. Chances are, some of you will come across an Nisayon of dishonesty in some form or another. That can make a lot of money if only I don't stay a person of great integrity. So the Torah is saying, you have a vision of, you etch a vision of Yosef in your mind. Statistically speaking, some of you will probably be tested with the Nisayon of honesty, in which some you'll pull through. Probably none of you will be tested to the same magnitude of Yosef's test. And I don't anticipate that many of you will be handling trillions of dollars with no oversight. Right? So that's not, if Yosef could do it, I could do it. So I understand the point of the, what's it? If Yosef was a genius, I could be a genius. If Yosef was a genius, he was a genius. If I'm not a genius, I'm not a genius. I'm not going to make myself a genius. So what's the Torah driving at? Yeah. That's interesting. You're saying it's not two separate things. It's despite that he was so brilliant and he could have outfoxed and outsmarted everyone and he could have left no trail, he's still interesting. Despite the fact that he was so smart, which made the Nisayon bigger, he still managed to hold on to the fascinating. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And Dav is also making a very sharp point. Right? Either the Chacham Terumah V'Das makes the Nisayon greater because he could have thought up all sorts of incredibly devious plans that would have avoided detection, or you're saying a person is very bright, has a greater Nisayon of Gaiva. It's easy to fall into the trap. You quote the Pasuk Chumash Dvarim, Koch V'Otzimah Esas Hayal Zeh, which corresponds to that Pasuk Zechariah we talked about before, and Lo B'Chayav, Lo B'Koch, It's sometimes when a person is incredibly talented, especially when you have the mixed blessing, it is a blessing, but it has its own costs. The blessing of things coming easy, that's an incredible blessing, of success coming easy, but it has certain costs, one of which is sometimes you get lulled into thinking that anything I can do can work, and that it's all me, and it's all my co-hosts, and to it becomes easier to forget Ribono Shel Olam. That's very true. I like that a lot. Let me make an additional suggestion. In addition to, I think it was very attractive suggestions the two of you were making, despite the fact that he was a man of extraordinary intellectual talent, nevertheless, he was only being Nisayon and maintained his integrity, it may also be that the Ramban is saying two separate things. Especially the word V'chi. Not sure which way it tilts. So let me make another suggestion. That maybe Ramban is saying two different things. He's saying, number one, he was a person of Chachmon Tumim Vidas, and there's something to learn from that. And number two, he was a person of Emun, a person of integrity, there's what to learn from that. So what are you going to learn from his Chachmon Tumim Vidas? If he was a genius, he was a genius. So I want to show you a pair of Rambans in last week's segment. Last week we had a chance to learn Ramban. Let's put it together. Because I think Ramban may be trying to fill out a larger picture. Two questions Ramban deals with, one piece after another. We're now moving back from Perek Mem Zayin to Perek Mem Beis in Niketz, Sukkim Ches and Tes. Yosef and Pasuk Ches, when the brothers walk in the first time, and Yosef knows exactly who they are. And the very next Pasuk, he begins to follow, execute a certain strategy. That strategy is, he gives them a hard time. Vayakar Yosef Zecha v'hem lo hikiruhu. And then, Vayizkor Yosef Zechal, he remembers Zechal Omos in Pasuk Tes. And all of a sudden, and now, instead of saying, and Yosef, he starts with this whole rigmarole. There are two obvious questions. There's a question in each Pasuk. Question in the first pasuk is, wow, if I know you and you know me, we meet, so then I'll know you and you know me. So the premise for the whole drama is Vehem lo hikiru, but how did that happen? So Ramban writes in the pasuk Ches, Vehem lo hikiru klal. They did not recognize him whatsoever. But Huchahol is not Kerelein. He didn't have to hide. He's there, he's sitting there. They don't know him. Amar Rabbi Seinu, B'tama HaKara. Now, Chazal are bothered. How is that possible? It tells in the bottom, as Rashi quotes, it's a Gemara in several places. He recognized them, but he was younger than them. So when they sold down the river, how old was he when they sold down the river? 17 years old. So they're already older. They had beards. And so now they're old, and they're more white in the beard. There's a couple of gray hairs in the beard. But they looked more or less as they looked when he had left them, when they were in their mid-20s, let's say, and bearded. So they walked in. They knew who they were instantly. They don't recognize him, the Gemara says, because he had been clean-shaven last time they saw him 22 years ago. Oh, okay. And now he's a bearded man, a bearded adult, so he looks very different. Says Ramban, a little bit difficult. Yisachar and Zvulun were not much older than Yosef. They were also probably, clean, you know, not yet bearded when he left them.
Good.
So he says, "Avo, fantastic." Number one, okay, but once he recognized Reuven and Shimon, so then everything else falls into place. And then he gives another answer. Now, why does he have to give another answer? What's wrong with the first answer? Gemara gives an answer. So it could be he doesn't explain what's driving to give a second answer. It may be the fact that we understand, okay, they saw Yosef once, and from a distance they didn't recognize him because now he has a beard. They saw him more than once, and remember, when they come back the second time, he invites them in, and they're going to eat together, and then even he seats them, as the Pesukim say, he seats them in age order, by Yismahu. The Pesuk says that the brothers couldn't figure out, how does he know? So, okay, we understand. The first time they see him, he has a beard, they don't recognize him. But again and again and again in such intimate circumstances, and it did not even occur to them. Like, I know I've had this experience sometimes. I think more, the different places, but I think more in Ramat HaShkol than anywhere else. I'm walking down the street, like I see someone, it's like, I'm sure I recognize him under the beard. Like last time I saw him, he didn't have a beard. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it looks familiar. Is that maybe what the Ramban was bothered by? Okay, maybe the first time they didn't recognize him because of the beard. Again and again and again. Until the moment he says, "Ani Yosef," they have no clue. Because he says, "Ani Yosef," and they're flabbergasted. It didn't pick up at all. They couldn't see. He had a beard. Okay, he had a beard. Shkoyach. But eventually that should wear through. Now, the impact of that should wear away somewhat. It could be that's what's driving him to give a second answer. But Od Hayam Akira, the Rabban says, there's something else at play also. He recognized them, Midaito Shiavo Shon, because he knew that they were coming. But they, Hemo Hikiru, Shol Nosu Libam, Shiha Evere Shamachal Ishmaelim, Hu Ashalit Al Aretz. The very Teretz and Pshat, and a profound poetic metaphor for life. As Yosef expected to see them sooner or later. He knew they were coming. So when they showed up, he recognized them. Right? Yosef had a sense of the whole picture. He knew what was going on. And he knew that everyone's going to be coming sooner or later for food, including his brothers. But they never occurred to them that the brother they sold down the river to Yishmaelim, maybe he's alive in some slum, some slave pit. That he's going to be sitting on the throne, that he's the executive vice president of the Egyptian Empire. It never occurred to them. Shal naslu libam. It did not occur to them that that's even a possibility, which is a profound metaphor. And you can be looking straight at the truth, but if you don't expect to find it, you won't recognize it. If your eyes aren't even open to that possibility, you can be mamish looking at, they were looking at their brother. They could have recognized him. Okay, he had a beard. But eventually would have recognized him. But it wasn't even on the list of possibilities. If you don't even think of it as a possibility, you can be looking right at it and not see it. So it happens to be, I think, a profound metaphor for lots of things. I think it's a profound Hanukkah metaphor also. We spoke last week about the Maharal and their mitzvah. The whole, want to know, what was the objective of Neis Hashem? Who needed it? What was Neis Hashem supposed to accomplish? And he suggested that was the artist's signature, so to speak, on the painting. Kadosh Baruch had done this entire Nesam Lachama, which was critical, but not clearly identified as being from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Nes Nista. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was signing off with a Nes Nigla, a small Nes Nigla after the Nes Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, the incontrovertibly from Ribbono Shalom, you should know that's the artist's signature on the painting. You should know that the whole painting, the whole Nes Muhammad, that was me. That too is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the last time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that in that fashion. There have been countless Nisim Nistarim, large and small, in the 2,000 years plus since Hanukkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signature then is meant to carry us through up until this point as well. When we're talking about staring to the nearest of the nearest Hanukkah to get some sort of he'ara, so I'm not privy to Teres HaNister, but I would say al pinigla, it means this idea. That to spend time reflecting on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us with the Nes of the Shemin. He was telling us, you should know it's me. You should know it was me on the battlefield as well. And I'm not going to sign off in such an obvious way again. I'd be as Gol Tzedek. There'll be times HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more obvious, less obvious. You read 6 days of war with your eyes open, as Yosef did. It's hard not to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fingerprints. But he never will be signing off with a Nes Nigla the way he did then. So we're supposed to hold on to that Nes Hashem that opened our eyes to look for the possibility of finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, and that gives us Chanukah Dika Eigen, to be able to interpret the things that happened more recently as well. Big things and the small things, national things, the personal things. To have eyes of Yosef instead of eyes of the brothers. That's, I think, one aspect of this Ramban. But there's something else that played this Ramban as well, which we're going to see in the next Ramban. Ramban goes on to say, the bigger kasha is not how did they not recognize Yosef. The bigger kasha is what's going on with Yosef. Akasha and Yosef, how do you do this? Let's see at least a piece. It's a long Ramban. Let's see a piece of the next Ramban. Membez, Pasik Tes. He remembers the dreams. What's the hemshach of the pasuk? The obvious problem is, how can Yosef be so cruel? But the opening question is, how do you understand the flow of that pasuk? Yosef sees them, he remembers the dreams, and now he begins to talk to them in the following fashion. What are the dreams, what remembering the dreams, how is remembering the dreams relevant? I'm sorry? So Rashi says, Yoda sheniskaimu, sherehishtachavulo. Rashi says, he says, wow, the dream has been fulfilled. They're bowing down to me. Ramban says, absolutely not. Just the opposite. Au contraire. Punkt fakert. Adraba ibcha mistabra. Whatever language one is. Lefi daidi shadavar behefach. Ramban says, I think exactly the opposite of Rashi. Ki yomar akosuv. Ki b'roch Yosef is echa mishtachvim lo. The pasuk says that when he sees his brothers bowing down, he remembers the dreams. Zachar kol chalom asher chalam lahem. Now he's thinking about it actively again and assessing what's happening by the metric of those dreams. Neither dream has been mekuyim yet at this occasion, at this episode. Why? He knows how to interpret them. Remember, there were two dreams. The first dream was the 12 bundles of wheat bowing down to his bundle. And the second dream was what? Was the Shemesh Yereach Nachasa Kochavim bowing down to Yosef. So what's the first dream and the second dream? The first dream is who's bowing down to Yosef? The brothers. Not the father, but all of the brothers. Are all the brothers bowing down to Yosef? No. Ki anachnu yirmoz l'cholech avacharasa. Rabbi's point out, Pasuk doesn't say the number 11 for the first dream, but anachnu sounds like all of us. Pamshenis, second dream, yishtachu ha-shemesh v'hayareh avacharasa kochavim, mechalom ha-sheni. Now it's a multi-generational bowing down. So he says, one second, he sees 10 brothers. Binyamin's not here. Kevishalo binyamin mahem. He sees Binyamin's not there. Now he's beginning to strategize what I need to do to get the first dream mekuyam and then the second dream. Now, how do I get Binyamin down without bringing Yaakov down? Al Kain, Lo Ratzal Lahagid Lehem Ani Yosef Achichem. The Ran says, and that explains the larger question of why don't you just tell them? It's me. How do you leave your father hanging? Go tell Abba right away. How can you not do that? Right? In Parsha Yigash, when he's ready to reveal himself, so he takes care of them all, takes care of his father. So how do you not do that right away? Okay, all of them, you believe, it's selfish. Yaakov would have been certainly thrilled to come see Yosef. So Rabban says, yeah, but that's exactly the problem. His father would definitely be thrilled to see Yosef. There's no way to get Binyamin down without Yaakov. So Yosef understands, here's what I need to do. I can't yet say who I am. So how can I get Binyamin down without revealing my identity? Then he gidla him the kai machalom hasheni. Says otherwise, Halulei Kain, if you don't give this explanation, Yosef chotei chet gadol. Otherwise, Yosef is an incredible sinner. Letzaris aviv. To leave his father thinking that he lost Shimon, thinking that he lost Yosef. Now he responds to your question, Michal. If you think that he was trying to cause his brothers a little bit of suffering, you have an aged father. Shaban says no. And Sakal Yafa. Everything was done step by step, everything at the right point. He felt a need to mekayim the chalomos because he knew that they would be fulfilled. Now that's a key phrase, which I suspect before I take hands may speak to some of your questions, which is, one second. If the chalomos would be mekuyamos, then why does that drive his behavior? Right, and especially since Rabban goes on to say he knew that the chalomos would be mukuyamos, so let it happen on it. He should just do the right thing, right? If the right thing to do is to relieve your father of his suffering, his misery, and let him know that you're alive, you do the right thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of his business. So what are you so worried about the chalomos for? What are you so worried about the chalomos for? So. L'chora, since that was the question that was bothering many, it was a very, very sharp question. Presumably the Rabban is driving at is the following, which may also explain some of what we discussed weeks ago about Rivka, another important halom that drives behavior. There was not a halom. There was actually a nevuah. She went to the Navi, Navi told her, here's what's going to happen. Right? So we discussed at the time, Malbim and others suggested, that was a tzivui. That was a tzivui. So Yosef may well have understood that these dreams were also a nevuah of sorts that he was given. His father, remember, also took them seriously. And Yosef understood that was a instructions to him that he got when he was a teenager. Kadosh Baruch Hu was given instructions. This was not just this is what will happen. You're expected to see to it that this happens. And Rabban goes on to say, skipping, just for there's a lot going on in the middle of Rabban as well, but just to be sensitive to time, he comes back at the end. To say again, it said it must be that this was coming from the dreams. Because how could it be? He says it's not only a question of why didn't he tell them now they showed up? Oh, I need Yosef. Why didn't he save them? This is a period of time from first visit to second visit. It's not just a question of those months or however long of that period of time was. It's decades. Skipping down to the several lines down, Reish Lamed Gimel, the Chen Ani Omer, the sixth, seventh line. Shekola Hanyama Elo Yib Yosef Mechachmas Person Achalamos. The whole story is being driven by the dreams. Ki Yesh L'Smoa. You could be shocked even earlier. Yosef has been in Mitzrayim. Yosef has been in Mitzrayim for years. Forget about when he becomes the Mishnah Lamelech. He's running the show in Potiphar's home. Huh? And he was totally in charge. And Potiphar trusted him. He ran the whole show. Potiphar was obviously a man. Yeah, it's fine. Pick up the phone, make a phone call. Or if you don't have that technology yet, write a letter. He definitely had messengers at his beck and call. He could have gotten someone to hop on a horse or a camel and to deliver a letter to his father. Dad, I'm alive, Baruch Hashem, I'm here, I'm doing well. I hope I'll get to see you soon. No, years earlier. He was gone for over two decades. Why didn't he send a note home? Send a postcard. He says, after all, Mitzrayim Karav Lechavri Kishisha Yavim. It's a less than a week trip from Mitzrayim to Chavri. And he says, and forget about it. And if they were on the other side of the world, she also says, it will take a year to send a message. She also send a message. The Kavachomer, you're a week away. Even if you can't leave yourself, send a letter. What's going on? The whole story is a plea, the Ramban says. It's not just what's he doing now in Miketz when the brothers show up. What's happening in Vayeshev? You don't care. Wouldn't you spend all the money in the world, he says, to take care of your father? I certainly would have. He knew he had to fulfill. He had to make this. He took it as a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rasha. He has to make this happen. You need to stage these two events. The hishtachavaya of your brothers to you, number one. Act one. Act two, the hishtachavaya of your brothers and your father and his generation. So he understood Yeshalios Ba'artzam. That's not going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. And he's very understanding, he's beginning to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me down to Mitzrayim for a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me down to Mitzrayim in a horrific way, but so quickly I rise to power. So he already understood years earlier, soon after months after he gets down to Mitzrayim, I'm beginning to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. That I'm here to rise to power in a way that ultimately the family didn't come here and bow to me. I'm not even sure how it's supposed to happen. It can't happen yet. I'm not yet positioned for that to happen. But I'm going to keep my eyes open looking for how things are going to play out. He was hoping that that's what was going to happen in Mitzrayim. He saw, as the Pesukim say, even Beis Potiphar, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving him remarkable Hatzlacha after HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guiding events somehow. And then he ends up at the Beis HaSurim. He's not really sure where things are going. Sort of like Avraham Avinu, he gets a tzivir for the Akedah. He's not really sure how this fits with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him previously. Okay, we'll see how things unfold. So he's also, now that he hears Paro's dream years early, almost a decade earlier. So you and I are listening to Paro's dream and say, oh, okay, economic issues in Mitzrayim. He says, Yosef already saw almost a decade earlier, this is what's going to bring my family down to Mitzrayim. Because in close to a decade from now, there's going to be such terrible famine that everyone's going to be coming here. Got it. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I see what you're trying to tell me. As soon as he heard the dream, he got it. Now he understood right now, he's able to see Rosh Hashanah's plan. This is remarkable in terms of, number one, I think part of the pshat is that Yosef understood that the dreams are not just predictions, haftachos, this is what will happen, but they were tzivuyim. It was instructions. You need to make this happen. This is a mitzvah. A rasha, Navi tells you, you have to go, you have to do that. A rasha, Navi tells you, the din of Elav Tishmon, you got to fulfill the tzivah of a Navi. So Yosef understood, this is a tzivah. A tzivah ben Avu, I need to make these two events happen. He might not have known why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, wanted to make it happen, but he knew, I have to stage these two, I need to get these two events to happen, and it happens, there has to be a hishtachaveh of just the brothers, and then later on, a hishtachaveh of the brothers and my father. So how am I going to get, so if all set 11 brothers would have come down, so have them be mishtach, right? Say right away, Neo safe, they bow down, they got the father comes down, gevalt. The problem is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't, Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, but Yaakov hadn't sent Binyamin. So we need to go through more stages. Otherwise, there's more Rabban says, but he's testing the brothers to make sure that Binyamin will be safe. But this is very powerful. And now we begin to appreciate the previous pasuk also more. As Yosef was a man who saw beyond the obvious. Yosef was a man who was looking at the bigger picture. He recognized that, it's not he recognized his brothers, he knew they would be coming down sooner or later. He recognized his brothers, he'd been waiting for this for 22 years. And he'd been waiting for 9 years for this particular event. Somehow he knew they would be walking in. And for 9 years, he's known that they're going to be walking in asking for food. But then all of a sudden, after 9 years, it happens, but not quite the way he thought it would happen. Because Binyamin's not there. So now things have to become a little more complex. And on the spot, he re-strategizes. And now, let's take that back to Ramban in this week's Sadra. Sipra kasa zeh, v'gomra in b'chal parshla, hodia malas Yosef, b'chachma, b'tvuna, uvedas, v'chi haya ish amunim. So I would suggest, I like what you said very much before, that maybe it's this fight. It might also be two separate things. Number two, he's a man of extraordinary integrity. And for that alone, we need to see what it could look like for a Jew to be trusted and to tackle and fulfill that trust. With incredible nisayon and to be a person of extraordinary integrity. That's issue number two. Issue number one, independently, is he was a man of chachma, tvunah, and das. Not that he was a genius. Maybe he was a genius. But that's not something that I... Just because he's a genius doesn't mean I can make myself a genius. But what else do you see about Yosef's chachma, tvunah, and das from this story? He already hatched the plan. So where's the genius in what happens now? We already heard about the plan was brilliant. Yosef's the original solution seller. The power tells him, here's my dream. He says, and I'll tell you what the problem is. Let me tell you how to solve the problem. And he's the original, long before MBAs were thought of, Yosef was the original solution seller. So we already heard his brilliant plan. So what's the Chachma, Tvunah, and Das here? What are we seeing here? So we're getting more detail in terms of exactly how it unfolds. But more than that, is we're watching, we saw earlier Yosef was a brilliant man who had vision and saw a problem and saw a solution and crafted a strategy. And here we see that to finish that off, he actually followed through. As the Mesillas Yesharim writes, and when he talks about Zrizus, some people are starters, to use the modern vernacular, Shil Shalom uses other terminology, some people are starters, some people are closers. You have the people whose koach is to have, you know, to have the vision, to have the initiative, to have the idea, maybe we could do this, maybe we could build this type of business, maybe we could have this type of initiative, maybe we could build this type of plan, we could build this type of institution, maybe we could build a community. You have people who are the starters, the visionaries. Then you have people who are closers, people who actually get the job done. The Mesillas Yesharim talks in Zehiras, that's Zerizos rather, but Zerizos Kodem Haschal Samaisa and Zerizos La'achar Haschal Samaisa. There's Zerizos in terms of getting started, and then there's Zerizos in terms of keeping it going and getting it done. Some people find one easier, some people find the other easier. Some people are the big visionaries, they have great ideas, but to actually get it done, that's not their cup. Some people aren't going to get things started, but they're the ones who will... You know, someone else laid out a vision, but I can make it happen. The closers. Both are important kohos. Sometimes one call comes more naturally to me. Sometimes for some people, the other call comes more naturally to me. So I need to develop both to the extent that I can. I need to develop, whichever one is less natural, within reason, I should try to improve myself in that field. If I'm a natural star, being a starter is easier, but sort of keeping, getting the job done, I sort of get lost. So sometimes it means you work with other people who are closers. Sometimes it means you need to develop. You can't always have other people do stuff for you. You have to develop yourself. That's a need I need to grow in, to be a closer. Some people say, if I care. Keeping the work rolling, getting stuff done that I'm great at, but I'm not necessarily the guy who sees the problem. I'm not necessarily the guy who sees the solution. If you tell me you need help, I'm glad to help you. But I'm not going to notice that you need help. It's good. So maybe if that's the case, then that's the area I need to grow in more. And that perhaps is what the Ramban means. That in addition to seeing Yosef's extraordinary integrity, we also see Yosef's milas b'chachma v'tumah v'das. He's a brilliant man with a brilliant plan, who also was very capably executing that plan. That the Torah wants to show us both pieces. He wasn't just the guy who had the great idea. He was the man who had the great idea, and also followed through on the great idea. Too many of us have great ideas, but you know, you have a great idea, a big launch, but then it never ends up, you know, all the work doesn't get done. Right? I'm sure all of you have worked on projects, group projects, where you know, either you're the one who's causing someone else frustration or you're the one who's frustrated by someone else, or maybe a mix of both. Right? So that's incredibly important. And that's something that it's not, oh, Yosef was a genius, you should be a genius too. No. Yosef was a person who saw what needed to be done and actually did it. So we should strive to do that as well. With whichever kochos I have, whatever talent I have, to both see problems and see solutions and be the solution side, so try to figure out, let's get started on something, let's do this, and to actually see it through in Emitzen Nikkers El Hashem Gomer. And then the other half of it is that he was a person in Chilai Yeshemunim, and he was a person of, in addition, the story gives us this extraordinary Demus Dukin of a incredibly honest Jew. As I said before, arguably a far greater Nisayon than Nisayon of Eshet Potiphar. A person Shat Yer Shamayim, we also see the third point is that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him an extraordinary Hatzlacha, not only Hatzlacha in terms of actual results, physical results, that the plan worked and Yitzhak was able to support everyone and he was able to accumulate the wealth of Mitzrayim on behalf of Paro, but that it was done with Chayin. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Chayin, and that those events were well received, that the plan was well received by the people, and that Yosef Taka became increasingly beloved by the people. So an incredible amount going on in the Pesukim, an incredible amount going on in these few lines of the Rabban.